This hour is brought to you by The Pint. Toronto's best St. Patrick's Day party is at The Pint. $5 Guinness, live music, dance floors, The Pint.
It's time to get brutally honest.
If he's got lingering issues, if Stroman has lingering issues, Tulowitzki might go on the 60-day DL to start the year. There could be blister problems at any point with Sanchez. It's tough. It's tough to be optimistic about the Blue Jays.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
All right, shout out to whoever sent me this text reminding me, because we didn't bring this up yesterday. There was news in the NFL over the weekend. Tyrod Taylor obviously being traded from the Bills to the Browns. And we never mentioned this, that Jay Peterman is now officially the starting quarterback for the Bills. So thank you for reminding me.
How did that slide through the weeds?
I can't believe we forgot about Jay Peterman. And
he's done working on his catalog?
I guess. You know, 5 picks in 14 attempts back in San Diego or L.A., I guess it was.
Tough start.
Very tough start. So shout out to someone in the 519 texting us, reminding us to bring up Jay Peterman. We'll talk about the NFL and different things going on with free agency opening up officially tomorrow. But welcome aboard. MJ's in here, Mike Johnson, and Noodles making his triumphant return.
Yes.
You've been gone longer than I was gone.
Well,
and now the O-Dog's gone, too.
I was gone all last week because it started with calling that Leaf game in Buffalo, mm-hmm. I think it was, where they put up an egg that night, which it happens. Buffalo has beat, like, some really good teams recently. Like, they've kind of, you know, I think teams are sleeping on them. But I will give you this, and I know I'm a week late, but the most frustrating thing for me is trying to get back to Toronto after that game. Like, it's like a rush for the border.
Driving back?
Yeah. It took me...
Who are you calling it with?
Gord Miller was across the border before
See,
I even...
See, you should have called me beforehand, because Gord has this down to
I know.
A, like, unbelievable size. I was in my house less than an hour and a half after the game finished. He parks at the end of the one parking lot.
I know.
The escape route, not close to the rink, but just he goes right over the curb, out to some on-ramp to beat the traffic. It's a full sprint. He's knocking people over left and right to make sure to get to his car. And he beats the crew to the border.
He called me from line. He's like, there's no lineup. I'm like, yes, there is. Because us normal people, it took me 41 minutes to get out of the parking lot. I was so rattled.
Rookie move.
Well, I've done Buffalo before. I just had not done a Buffalo Maple Leaf game.
Oh, with the Leafs, right.
I've done Buffalo Ottawa, no problem. Not that many, you know.
People from Ottawa are making that kind of trip, yeah.
Everyone from Toronto was down
there. Half the building is people in Toronto.
I'm trying to get there, and there is just goon after goon on these bridges.
Awesome.
And,
and it's a Monday night, so they're not going to open up more.
They had the Nexus closed.
Right, they're not opening it up for you.
I was so rattled. And I was flying to New York the next morning to do the Ranger-Winnipeg game. And first of all, it was a 7:30 start. I like 7 o'clock start. 7:30, a little later, stretches in. I did not walk into my house until 1 a.m. I was so rattled.
Yeah, that is tough, man. I remember when we were at the draft a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
We got out of there, and I was anticipating the same problems because so many scouts and a lot of people are from southern Ontario, and they'd be crossing the border. And it was a bit of a problem, but it wouldn't be to the same extent as right after a Leaf game because, like, downtown Buffalo, where the rink is 2.5 minutes from the border.
Right.
Like, you cross the border, and you're right at the rink.
Basically, you get out of the parking lot, you're in the border line.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's pretty much how it works.
But
so there's no room for separation, right? There's no room for you to, like, find a different route.
And you can't get cute. You can't try to find a back alley.
Believe me, I tried to get cute, and there was a hero on the road. So I tried a shoulder move.
He blocked you?
Yeah.
I love it.
He blocked me with
good
a big,
for him.
Big
I say
F1
good for him.
You know what?
And then I still got right around him, and he gave me the old
how do you do?
FU. Yeah, he was rattled. But I was like, hey, man, I'm trying to catch a flight tomorrow morning. You're just going to try and sweat out the beer that you drank on the way home. So I was
maybe he had plans, too.
Quite aggressive.
Yeah.
But I still got caught in the lineup. I was so – and, of course – people were chippy because the Leafs lost too.
Right.
So it
angry
wasn't,
group going home.
It was an angry mob.
And it's a Monday night. You got to go to work. You didn't really want to go to the
down
game
for
anyway.
This nonsense.
Yeah, like Friday night. Yeah, we'll stick around. Who cares?
Couple wings, couple beers.
Yeah, Monday night. You weren't supposed to go anyway. You went last minute.
And you went last minute, and you bought $15 tickets because that's what Gord had looked on StubHub or something and said, like, there's people getting tickets for $14.50, $15.25, like, $15 ticket in Buffalo.
Well, I'm not surprised by that. Like, 41 home games, they're the worst team in the league.
If you didn't have season tickets, would you pay full freight for it? But if you're going to do a walk-up, I admire any fan in any sport that shows up this time of year for a team that's close to last.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, you have to tip your hat. Like, that is a guy who loves the game.
And Jack Eichel's been injured for a long time.
Exactly.
So the one guy that you really want to see isn't going to play anyway.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to see Buffalo right now without Eichel?
And Kane got traded.
Yeah.
What are you
watching?
Ryan O'Reilly,
Sam Reinhart's had a good year.
Yeah, he's had a good year. And Ryan O'Reilly's right up there and leading in draws. You're going to go and watch him win some draws.
A face-off.
Take 40 face-offs and win 32 of them.
Exactly.
What a night.
I'll pay $4 for a face-off clinic.
But like
no
that,
more.
But, you know, that game was kind of a, you know, it was a throwaway. It just wasn't that good. But I was so rattled.
The border, man. Oh, the border is
so
a tough. It's a grind because you have no idea what you're getting.
No.
Like, I've been telling you guys, we're going down to Pittsburgh this weekend to March Madness.
Oh, yeah.
And I was pretty happy about it because of the draw that came out on Sunday night. Duke is going to be in Pittsburgh.
Nice.
Villanova's down there. Oklahoma with Trae Young. So if he gets through, could be Oklahoma-Duke on Saturday night, and that's when we're going. But we're planning this because we're taking a bus down. There's going to be like 12 of us or 15 of us going down.
Cross the border in a bus?
We're crossing, and we have you cannot map out a game plan because you have no idea what's coming.
Could take 3 hours. You could get pulled over. They could be
tear that bus apart. If
they
you're
probably
drinking
will.
On it and all that. Like you're
But what do you think we're going to be doing?
I know, but it's a bachelor party.
Exactly.
Be gooned. They're going to pull you. Like they've got the ability to, if they wanted to take bolt by bolt that bus apart.
Right. Full-blown cavity searches if they
exactly.
want to. Like, I know.
You guys could get, was it Homer Simpson where they're like, full cavity search?
Yeah.
That's what you guys may get.
You're driving down on Saturday?
No, we're going down Friday.
Okay.
So we're going down Friday.
You say, give yourself a nice buffer to get to the game.
That's what I'm saying. We're gonna be there hopefully 24 hours before, but who knows. But the border, that's just a lifelong struggle for Canadians.
And the best and worst part about it is that even if you're Nexus and you're Noodles and you cross the border 100 times a year, every time you go there, you're still somewhat intimidated by the guard.
Well, for sure.
Like, you can't give them any attitude.
No.
It terrifies me.
Mess with your
one
life.
Wrong word, all of a sudden out comes your visa, your passport's revoked, your Nexus is gone.
It's weird. It is different for me driving. Like, customs, I don't get nervous. Customs, I walk right up at Pearson. I'm like, this is where I'm going. This is what I'm doing. Yeah. There's something about being in the car.
Because they can pull you over.
That's the whole point.
After the fact.
Plus, you're one of those jackasses. Like, the big lineup, and if they give you, like, the point to go park over there, you've got to get out of your car.
Yeah.
And you have no idea. Like, I travel very light. I flew back from Washington this morning. I was gone for a week, and I had a carry-on. Like I'm very efficient with my
How'd you pull that move off?
That is impressive.
Three suits
and a carry-on?
Five shirts.
What?
And underwear. Like, I'm very efficient.
Workout gear? You're doing the Westin workout plan?
Westin workout
plan. That changes everything.
See,
so you don't have to bring running shoes.
I don't have to bring any workout stuff because the Westin workout, they provide shoes.
You need undergarments.
Well,
you're telling me you use the Westin, like the shorts, the shirt.
Yeah,
they supply all that stuff.
They give you the socks you get to keep, so not reworked.
Oh, okay.
And they give you a nice whatever.
You get to keep the socks? I've never kept the socks once. Yeah. I always return them.
Oh.
Well, anyway,
I got them dropped off my room the other day, and they're like, no, they're just yours. Just take them.
Well, the Westin workout, they are a game changer.
Yep.
So you think about it, it's like a player traveling on the road. All you're doing, you're in your room, and then you wear a suit to the game, and then once you get back, you change out of your suit and hang it up.
I'm impressed you brought three. I bring one. A couple shirts. No one can tell.
I was five games, so I needed three.
But the suit you're wearing right now, dark blue.
Yeah.
No one, you're on camera three times a game.
Yeah, for 90 seconds.
Minute
and a half total.
I'd one suit that trip.
All day long. Now, give me different shirts, different color ties.
Nope. Shirt and tie. But
like, that's a dark blue. Could be black one day. Could be, who knows?
Yeah, you needed to Dale Hunter that trip.
That's
I know,
it.
But
one
like,
and done.
Here's the thing. You have to anticipate
a spill?
Some shrapnel. Like, you never know.
Well, a torn pant leg.
Dude,
exactly.
I was thinking about that when I was on Trade Center a couple of weeks ago. I had like four hits. I could have had coffee all the way down one side of my suit. No one would have even noticed. I thought ahead. I'm like, I better bring an extra suit.
Yeah, just
like,
in
just
case.
Just in case.
For sure.
Because I don't want to be that guy who never does this.
Did you bring an extra one?
An extra what?
Like shirt? Suit?
For Trade Center?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a locker here. So if you decide to throw your coffee on me right now, okay. I'm still on
You're
the panel
good.
Tonight.
I guess I should get a locker is what I'm saying.
Well, or you can share mine if you want. It's not a big deal.
But
I've got... You know what happens, though? And the reason why I have a locker is because I will wear a baseball cap and a pair of jeans, and then something will happen.
Oh, by the way, can you do something?
By the way, we need a SportsCenter hit right now. So I've got to go down, comb my hair, throw a suit on, and do a stand-up. Yeah. So I am always prepared in that. But I like to travel light. But when I cross the border, you're right. Like, there is no messing around. Like, it is
all
respect.
Business.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, depending on who's interviewing you. Mm-hmm. Because if they decide to get chippy, like, I had one, I guess I got stopped once where... When you go into next, you look into the machine, and it takes a picture of you. I had my hat on, and I got up there, and the guy's, he got into my face. He's like, you were supposed to take your hat off. Mm. I could revoke you whatever.
Nexus,
I'm so sorry.
The revoking of the Nexus is a common threat.
Really?
Like, if you didn't update your passport the day you got changed, you know we can take your Nexus away. I'm like, I'm so sorry. Please, let me do it again.
And I want to be, like, I mean, I am as straight as, I'll declare things. Like, I'm very
straight.
You're
not messing around with it.
You just don't want to, because you never want to get... On that list.
You're blacklisted. Right.
But could you imagine if you were actually a shady character? Like, I'm so nervous, I don't do anything. Like, I don't declare anything, I don't do anything, I don't have a rap sheet, I've never been arrested.
Right.
Imagine if you were just some scumbag who's been arrested 45 times.
And you're walking
And you're coming back from Cancun, and who knows what's in your bag.
Exactly. You're flying through Bogota, Colombia, and it's like... What kind of, like, sweat on would you have?
Profusely. Rolling through that. Just dripping.
Like, just, and they can tell the look on your face, like you have pits going, like you. Yeah, but they must be, I mean, I would think border guards have to be.
They know what's
they're
up.
They're schooled in profile.
Yeah, they
get it. Like in
reading people.
In reading people, exactly. In reading tells.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I always try and lock eyes. You want to let them drive the bus. Like, here's my form. But I do.
The other one you're not allowed to do at the airport? Lean on the counter.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You get,
well, you're also not supposed to be using your cell phone in line.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes they'll yell at you for that.
You go to the passport desk and you give them your Nexus, your passport, your boarding pass.
Yeah.
And then you kind of like hunker down and see what's up.
Don't do that.
Off the counter, please.
Really? I've never been that comfortable that I want to do a lean for the
guy. I always want to kind of look at their invisible screen. You know, that they have the screen over their computer screen so you can't read it. So I'm always trying to find the angle. Like, what's this?
Oh, yeah.
It's just such a position of authority. Oh. Like, I envy it in a way. I wish I could have that authority once in my life.
No
over
power
somewhere.
For anyone like that.
Not even close.
But the thing is there's a guy, a border guard that I met who's a fan of the show. And I've messaged with him before, but like he is all business. Like,
there's no buddy when you show up.
No. And I've only crossed once with, when I went across with him, and that's kind of how we got chatting. And he's like, oh, I listen to the show all the time, and it was cool. But like, they have to be true professionals.
Yes.
Like, it's not like, you know, wave you and your friends. Like,
it's like... By the book.
We're all by the book here. Like, I wouldn't want that job right now. I think there's tremendous pressure on that job on both sides.
Yeah, there would be a lot of, like, especially with Trump and the border stuff and everything.
I think.
And then any time you give anyone kind of any kind of grief, you know they want to file a report, you know.
Yeah,
it just walk on eggshells.
But yeah, I
flew
back.
But he has to say, leave yourself a little bit of time to get across the border.
Yeah,
exactly.
Booze, bro.
I'll let you know.
The thing is, you'll go down there on the booze cruise, and you'll get, like, they'll just wave you through. Like, we'll be scaring you. And
I know.
And
somehow we'll get right
there. They won't be able to check in the hotel. They'll be there too early.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I'll let you guys know how it goes. I'm looking forward to it, though. It should
be
a great weekend.
To see
March Madness?
It's pretty amazing.
I've never been. I've heard it's incredible. Again, Duke. Like, the idea of being able to see Duke is huge. Like, that.
And it's at the PPG or
it is.
PPG.
Oh, like it's right at
the Penguins.
Yeah, the Pens are on the road for a while, I think. Because I think they're doing two weekends in Pittsburgh, I believe. At least the first weekend, anyway. But, like, I obviously didn't go to college in the States. I've never lived in the States. But the idea of all these different schools and the alumni and all the students, they're going to take over Pitt.
Yep.
Pittsburgh's not that big of a city. Mm-hmm. It's big enough.
That'll like, be bustling, though.
It will be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, again, Oklahoma's up there, like Alabama, so some Southerners will be kicking around.
I guarantee you guys
travel
are
well
have,
those schools as well.
Oh, they're they big, absolutely
yeah,
do.
You're going to have a great time, and I guarantee you're going to eat from a food truck.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There will be food trucks everywhere.
That's what I've heard about Pitt. Like, in general, and just down there in the States and around the arena. So it's going to be fun. It'll be cool. And
nice.
Noodles, you were in the house last night for history. Ovi scoring 600.
I mean, leading up to it, all I could think about is that 598, and I'm like, could be a tight game here, and you never know. Like, he's a streaky scorer. As you know, MJ, he's a guy who he either scores in bunches or kind of goes cold. And you know, leading up to it, like, obviously, our traffic in the emails back with SportsCenter, they're like, okay, if this guy hits 600, we're gonna come to you because you're in the building. And right away, they get a five. Like, the reffing was, like, very, very tight. Like, there were some calls that were...
Penalties all over the place.
Like, penalties. The first period, yeah. Like, in the first minute and a half, Washington had a 5-on-3. I'm like, this guy's scoring. And sure enough, he scores. Mm-hmm. It hits Meyer's skate and goes in. I'm like, he's getting 600 tonight. I think after two periods, he had 12 shot attempts. He was all over the ice.
Yeah. You don't realize the volume. Like, 12 shot attempts is just an astronomical night. Mm-hmm. I think once in my career, I think I had 8 shots on net. I don't know if I ever had 10 attempts. But, like, he gets 10 plus attempts regularly. It's just the amount of pucks he puts towards the net.
It was crazy because it's not like he's just coming over the blue line and floating it. Like, they force feed him. Like, they want to get him the puck, but... He's done a good job, and I think the way that the lineup is constructed is they know exactly where he's going to be. He gets available, and what's interesting is to watch a young guy like Laine, who has that kind of in his game now. He gets lost in coverage and then slides in and gets available, and man, like, he can bring it too. Like, that kid is as much. We're lucky here to watch Matthews every day. The people who watch Laine every day, like, they're treated too. This kid's special.
Oh yeah.
Also, like, Ovi, in the sense that he's on the perfect team, Laine. They got a team that has the puck a lot with good players. Yeah, he's playing with passers. He's put him on a different team. Now, he can create for himself, but just he's so good at finishing. Sometimes you need help, people to get you the puck. Yeah. Like, Ovi's had Backstrom forever, Kuznetsov.
Well,
Laine's got Scheifele or Little or Stastny right now.
Stastny's done a good job. Like, I think he realizes, hey, I'm going to a good team. I'm playing with two guys. I mean, that Ehlers can fly.
Awesome.
He can fly, and he's really skilled. Laine is a big... To me, he's... And I wouldn't draw the comparison, but he reminds me the way he skates around out there like Lemieux. Because he's not... He kind of lumbers, but he can get there, and he's fast. But it's... Mario Lemieux used to look like he was out for a Sunday skate, but he would just get there and control the pace and speed it up and slow it down. Nick Backstrom's like that. Nick Backstrom... can get his pace up, but then he likes to just slow things down and draw people to him, and he's such a great passer. And you look at when Stamkos at 65, it's Marty St. Louis who puts it on a tee for him. Mm-hmm. Ovi gets 60 or whatever he's going to get, it's Backstrom or Kuznetsov who gets him the puck.
Yeah, you need to play with great players. Yeah, I mean, it's like a great wide receiver. If you don't have the quarterback, it's not going to work for you. But Ovechkin hitting 600, you know, we've already known this for a long time. He's one of the great goal scorers of all time. But today, I found a lot of people, including on this station, trying to find out who that next Ovechkin is. And I think that's undermining his greatness. I don't think any of these guys will be as good as him. Like, as great as Laine is, I think Ovechkin is untouchable in terms of this current generation.
I just did. Now, it's arbitrary with the numbers. But if you consider Wayne Gretzky, in his first 990 games, he scored 764.
Yeah.
In those 990 games, there was 7.5 goals scored per game. Ovi's 990 games, 5.5. Like 35% more goals per game scored when Gretz played. You do the math and average everything out, Ovi's way ahead of Wayne Gretzky in an era sort of adjusted goals per game. Now, it's not quite apples to apples, but it does even it out. To your point, Hayes, is that because he hasn't won, I don't think he gets the credit he deserves for the kind of player he is. And maybe as importantly, because he's not as good as Sidney Crosby.
Well, that's a part of it for sure. I mean, it's Ovi, he's not a one-dimensional player, by any means.
Well,
like,
when
we just
first
talked
came
about
in the league, he was a bull in a china.
But that's the amazing thing. Like, you just mentioned how many shot attempts he had last night. Now, he's still in his prime, but he's at the back end of his prime. Right. But when he first came in, there were nights where you'd walk in, you'd be like, he had 2 goals, 2 assists,
8 hits,
12 shots, 8 hits.
Yeah.
Like, he was Lindros on the wing. I mean, a bit of a different style. He wouldn't fight or anything like that, but he'd run over people and control the game. But his goal-scoring ability, like, simply breaking it down from that standpoint, I don't think is attainable by any of these young guys, where when you bring Sid into the conversation, in terms of the full game, I think everyone would agree Sid's the greatest player this generation. Ovi's probably number two. But McDavid, I think, can catch Sid. Like, we're talking big picture, who's the greatest player of the past 25 years. I think McDavid's got a chance in 15 years to make a case for being greater than Sid. I can't picture a goal scorer being a better goal scorer than Ovi. Like, I think the only, like, definitive GOAT right now, greatest of all time, at least era-adjusted or over the past 25 years, of this century anyway, I think Ovechkin owns that exclusively.
For sure.
Like, I do. I think 25. Just simply from goal scoring. Here's like, I don't see who's going
to
catch him.
You might be able to say Erik Karlsson as an offensive defenseman.
Right.
Okay.
But, I mean, it's a niche little market. But,
you're right. Yeah, no, he's spectacular, for sure. But
here's another thing. If Ovi was Canadian.
Oh. If he was from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Or Thunder Bay, Ontario.
Right. Like, the Russian factor is, even people deny it, but, like, even if it's 5% or 10% of, like, people look at Ovi, and, yeah, he hasn't won a cup, and then they look at the fact that the minute that he loses out in the playoffs, he can't wait to get home to Russia. Like, it's
go
play in the World Championships, and he's, you know, buddied up to Putin or whatever, you know, that is. But if this guy was, again, from London or from, you know,
Moose Jaw,
like, I think there would be an even higher level of respect.
Well, he'd have some hardware. He'd have some gold medals. He would have been on these Canadian
teams. That's fair.
Plus,
that's a good point.
I think when he started in the league, how him and Sid were marketed, and Sid was like the white knight coming to save the league, and the Canadian guy, and the young face, and Ovi was, you know, the Russian bull, and, you know, like, they were contrasted. Sid, the good guy, Ovi, a bit of the villain, even though that's not who he is at all as a personality. No. But that's how North American hockey fans were introduced as the anti-Sid.
Yeah.
And I think that also factors in.
Well, it's an interesting segue into what I want to get into next about this Andreas Janssen coming up and what we could see with the Leafs lineup tomorrow night. We'll get into that. Again, there's a story out of Golden State about Steph Curry's 30th birthday party last night. I want to touch on that. And NFL free agency opening up tomorrow. There's already a lot of news out there. Sage Rosenfels will join us in about an hour. MJ's in here. Noodles is back. I'm Brian Hayes. OJ, Overdrive continues on TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Big week for NFL fans. This is a great, great week. There's so much going on. NFL free agency, a lot of big quarterbacks moving around, some other big names on the market on both sides of the ball, and Packers in the news. I'm just reading this online. Adam Schefter tweeting out that they're going to release Jordy Nelson. He's been there for a long time. He's had some injury problems recently, but he's been their number one receiver for quite some time. But they're going to sign Jimmy Graham. So Jimmy Graham is on his way to Green Bay and Jordy Nelson on his way out.
Jimmy Graham never quite fit in Seattle like you thought he would.
He didn't.
You think Russell Wilson, he throws a nice deep ball, but, you know, like kind of like that seam up the middle. Mm-hmm. And it just, despite Graham being a massive target, good athlete, jump, you know, all the rest of it, but never quite. This year was better, but the first couple of years,
a couple years ago, he did nothing. Like, he had some injury problems, but he was such a stud in New Orleans.
In New Orleans, he could do no wrong. He was like,
it was him and Gronk. Like, it was unanimously
accepted.
He was
as good of a wide receiver / tight end as there was in the league. So
it's a good option for
Rodgers,
my boy Aaron Rodgers. Well,
but
Rodgers,
I mean, he's going to need some recovery time post Jordy Nelson because they had a good run.
Yeah, they did. And Rodgers is probably just licking his chops. So, like, Kirk Cousins getting all this guaranteed money. Sam Bradford's getting $20 million again.
What?
Sam Bradford's getting $20 million in Arizona.
Oh, they're desperate. So they need a quarterback.
What is Rodgers going to sign for?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, Rodgers may walk in and just say, blank check, you fill it out, and it's got to be...
Could it be $40 million a year?
What's the highest paid?
Probably, I don't know. Like, it could be $200 million over the course of five, six years. Yeah,
but guaranteed.
Sure.
Like, can he say...
I don't know about guaranteed. Like, this is a one-off. I'm not convinced this is going to become the norm now in the NFL.
But why wouldn't
it? Because the term is so short for Cousins.
Yeah, it's a three-year deal.
He didn't take the length.
But what if Rodgers goes in and says, okay, I want a five-year deal at $50 million a year, guaranteed?
If Cousins can demand it, I hear you.
No, you can't do that. Sorry. Only Cousins gets that. Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah. I know.
I know. That's leverage.
It's funny. We look at this from a fan perspective, and football's neat in that sense that they're able to, they just release guys and cut guys and big name players moving around. But as a player, I'm like, Doesn't happen in the NHL because guys get their money.
But
you can't cut me because I had a bad year.
Which is probably a better union for to be part me. Of.
Well, 82
not so
games.
Good for the fans.
Right.
82 games. That's why. You're playing 82 compared to 16.
Well, I would. But, I mean, I've never played football, thank God. But I would hazard that one football game puts as much wear and tear on your body as five NHL
I'm not
games.
Arguing that, but I'm just saying that it's. These guys get front-loaded deals. Like, signing bonuses are ridiculous. Yeah.
They still get a lot of money. Like, right. It's not like they're, you know,
it's not, about
not
that.
Making cash.
But just the volume of transactions and the names associated. You don't just see guys like Jimmy Graham getting cut and, you know.
Jordy Nelson getting cut.
Like Bobby Ryan would get cut right now.
Right.
Love Bobby. But, you know, he'd get cut this summer and then he would sign somewhere else. Now he's not as big of a name. But, like, that kind of transaction just doesn't
where
happen.
Right. He's got a massive deal and it's, like, not working out. Okay, you're gone.
You're gone.
Well, did you see his comments today?
I
think he was speaking with his son. And I guess he had an interesting nugget. Like, he said he and Carlson thought they were getting traded to a team in the Western Conference.
That's Vegas.
It had to be Vegas. Yes.
Yeah.
And then he was talking about how he hasn't performed up to his contract, but hey, that's business. It happens. I'm like, yeah, it's easy for you to say that. You're making $7 million.
7.25.
Right, exactly. Like if you were on pace for 45 goals and you're making $825,000, you'd probably be thinking about it a little bit differently.
Wouldn't be like, yeah, that's just business.
Yeah, well,
that's
these things happen. Sometimes the contracts don't quite match up.
It's funny in watching the comments. Was it Don Brennan, I think, that interviewed him? But the comments... The Ottawa fans are quite friendly to Bobby.
Yes, he gets
a pass there. Like
really?
if it was in this market, it would be a lot different story. Bobby's a really good guy.
Yep.
He's involved in the community. He's an honest interview. Like he's not a guy who's smoking mirrors. Unfortunately, his body's just. I mean, he's had 11 finger injuries. Is it like it's something ridiculous?
It's crazy.
Like it's Loople. Plus more. Like, that's because Loople had multiple injuries.
It's Loople, but all in his hands.
Right, exactly. And you know, he's a good player when he plays, but you just can't get him to play.
We had a great playoff run last year.
He was outstanding.
That's what I wonder, though. A few different things you talk about him, though, because he's referenced that it basically took him to the playoffs to figure out Guy Boucher's system. Now, I don't play for Guy Boucher. You've played hockey. No system is that complicated that it takes six. Like,
no kidding.
Give me 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And there might be, you know, a slight thing here or there where I might. 6 months?
Yeah. Well, it's happening here in Toronto where people are like, yeah, Thomas Plekanec, he hasn't figured it out. I'm like, well, he better figure it out in the next week or two.
Yeah, you got to get
because
it sorted out.
They acquired him at the deadline, and he's played almost 1,000 games. He's not a dummy.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And come on.
There's a factor. Plekanec is different. There's a factor where I think it's.
The culture shock not being in Montreal and being in Toronto.
Shock. Like, he's been with one organization for 1,000 games.
But that organization was also Montreal.
Right.
Like, that Josh Georgia sentiment. Like, I can't play for Toronto. I played 1,000 for Montreal.
Right. And there's a lot of things going on with Plekanec where, like, last year in dealing with Ottawa a lot, they asked Bobby Ryan to be a different player. Which is tough because he was kind of a risk reward guy. He make those backhand sausages. He's got a great like I will say this, Bobby Ryan, he's got the long stick and
you need it when you can't skate that.
He loves the backhand pass and he's really good at it. But I think that their system just wasn't conducive to him. So they were asking him, okay, we need you to go to the middle of the ice. We need you to crash the net. Like, there were things that were just not in his DNA. So I think he got out there and was thinking. And then it was
I'll give
working.
You a month or two of that.
Yeah.
And then stop thinking start playing.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he also is a guy who's been in the league for 10 years. Like,
yeah. It's not,
second overall pick.
Doesn't fly to me when people say that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm just saying it. You're asking somebody to do something that he wasn't for 10 years he hadn't done it.
Speaking of Plekanec, his line was reshuffled a bit today. We'll tell you about that in 2 minutes. All right, so yesterday, Craig and Jonas were in here, and we had an off-the-air conversation, which now I wish we brought on the air, because Jonas was talking about covering the Marlies, and they were playing yesterday afternoon, and Craig said to him, you know what you should do is go write about this Andreas Janssen kid, who's not really a kid. He's 23.
Yeah.
But if you're not familiar with him, he's got a point per game with the Marlies. He was an all-star this year. By all accounts, he's been their best player. He was a former seventh-round pick, And he came over from Sweden a couple of years ago. He's been playing with the Marlies ever since. He has not gotten a sniff at the NHL level. Well, the Leafs called him up today. But Craig was saying yesterday off the air, he said, this kid's an NHL player. Like, he's playing. Now, we're talking about next year where he might fit into the lineup. And we get up this morning and we check out the press release and they've called Johnsson up and it turns out he's going to play tomorrow night. So that adds some intrigue. It's kind of been a quiet time of year for the Leafs because it's already been determined what's going to happen.
Right.
They're finishing third. They're playing Boston.
Yeah.
Wait till Matthews gets back. Stay healthy and we're all good. So you add a new player into the lineup and it adds some intrigue to the game tomorrow night. And he'll more than likely play on Thursday as well. I don't think he'll stay in the lineup once Matthews returns. But this is a team 5 years ago that had a fourth line of Colton Orr, Jay McClement, and Fraser McLaren. The fourth line conventionally in the hockey world was bangers and bruisers, Canadian kids,
yep,
go out there and hit and fight and play 7-8 minutes. Tomorrow night, we believe the lineup is going to look like on the fourth line. Andreas Johnsson, who's about 5'10", from Sweden, with Thomas Plekanec, who's about 5'10", from Czech Republic, with Kasperi Kapanen, who's maybe 6 feet, from Finland. That's the fourth line tomorrow night. That's a drastic change. And that's where the game is going, right? Like, we're just living in a different world now.
Yeah.
Matt Martin's not playing.
Yeah.
Josh Levo's not playing.
No, it's pretty sick. But when you put it in that context, it's pretty stark how significantly you can't even fathom a line like a Colton Orr, Fraser McLaren line existing in today's NHL.
Not in today's game.
But that was 5 years ago.
That's not the
Flyers of 75. Yeah.
No.
That's 5 years ago.
But that's
Orr, McLaren, McClement.
That's how quickly the game has changed. A couple things. Concussion lawsuit. People are on that. The speed of the game.
You think the concussion lawsuit has something to do with the...
Absolutely.
The fighters being phased out?
Well, I think it's a layer.
I think concussions, not the concussion lawsuit.
Well, both. They tie a hand in hand. Think about it, because if, and that's a long-standing thing. Like, there are, how many people are suing now the NHL? How many have signed up on that? Like, it's, and to me, fighting is being phased out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many fights were there, if there's a 10-game night, how many fights are there in the league?
I don't remember the last time the Leafs had a fight.
Kadri. Kadri, couple weeks ago, who did he fight?
Bacchus, was it? Or
Kadri squared off with somebody.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was, but isn't that like the league...
That we can't remember, and we watch it all.
Right.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the fighting is being phased out in a lot of different levels. Yes, skill, speed of the game are probably front and center, but I think people are more cognizant of what's going on, taking care of your body, that type of stuff. Concussions.
Well, look what happened with Ryan Reeves. Remember, Jim Rutherford acquired Ryan Reeves from St. Louis at the draft, and he's like, we need this. I'm not going to put up with this anymore.
Right.
Crosby getting knocked around and Malkin getting knocked around, and then he's like, man, I can make an upgrade. What do I need Ryan Reeves for?
Well, see, that's...
See you later.
And Ryan Reeves can actually play because he can skate a bit, and he can hit, and he can be involved beyond...
Yeah, he's...
But they got him for toughness.
But that's where I think maybe the biggest change in attitude. Somehow... Remember Brian Burke, you know, someone's got to control the rats or the pests or whatever he said.
Yeah.
This idea that no one will touch Sidney Crosby. I'm not saying I'm not scared of Ryan Reeves. Terrified of Ryan Reeves. I'm terrified of Milan Lucic. I want no part of any sort of physical confrontation with either of them. It doesn't change anyone's approach to playing McDavid or Crosby.
No.
You know, they're not going to get touched. Those guys are never even on the ice when it happens anyways. That idea, I think, is just about done. That you can somehow get a tough guy in to protect someone, and they will be played differently. That's just not... We can debate whether that's good or bad. I don't think you can really debate that impact is almost negligible now.
That's what's important. Like you said, if there's guys that are higher in the lineup that are tough, those are...
Well, that's why Lucic's got that.
Those are unicorns.
Contract.
Right.
Those are unicorns, because there aren't guys that have... like. Okay, Chara, I mean, he's 40 years old, but he terrifies everyone. He skates into did you see Phil's face the other day?
When Phil didn't want anything to do
that was
that.
Awesome.
Nothing
Phil looked up and saw that monster, and he was like, I don't care if Malkin's getting decapitated over there. I'm not climbing that tree.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, you're right, because you want somebody to have a deterrent, but the deterrent isn't there because nobody's afraid. Guys skate through the middle of the ice now. They know they're not going to get hit. It's actually on the guy who's hitting now, not with the guy, his head down.
Well, I also think there's a part of it where the coaches are like, okay, maybe that is still important to a level, to an extent, nowhere near how we used to feel about it collectively, but skill and IQ and pace is more important.
Yeah.
You know, that's always been the argument. Okay, it's not like anyone's sitting there saying it's toughness is a
no
bad
value.
Thing. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like, yes. I'll take some toughness, I'll take some physicality, but by subtracting skill...
At the expense of what?
At the expense of something, exactly. And that's why tomorrow night, if it is, in fact, a fourth line of Janssen, Pekanec, Kapanen, like, that's the fourth line.
It's a good fourth line, though.
It's a good fourth line. It's a skill for fourth line. Like, Pekanec isn't the fastest skater, needless to say, but right. Janssen can skate, Kapanen can fly, they've all got skill, they've all got high IQ. None of them are going to hit anybody tomorrow night. None of them are going to fight anybody tomorrow night. But there's a chance they're going to score tomorrow night.
Right.
And the fact is...
And they can play on special teams.
Yes.
And if someone's not having a game or gets injured, they can move up the lineup. They offer you more flexibility.
They do.
Right.
And I think and coaches certainly love that.
Right.
You know, Komarov's having a tough night playing with Kadri. We need some more offense. Kapanen, boom. In you go.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of option...
I should know this. It was Ristolainen. I called the game.
Oh, that's right. They fought four times. The three times. The four times.
Oh, it was Kadri Ristolainen.
Yeah.
That's right.
He got like, behind the net.
Yeah.
How many more times were playing?
Ristolainen was giving him the four, but not the three.
Right, right.
For me, that was a lifetime ago. I think I've called five games since then. I've drawn him. My mind is mush.
Yeah,
but
you're right.
But yeah, like... The fact that we struggled to like even figure that out, I think through osmosis, through the way that... The game is trending. You see it a little bit, but it's not as much. And you may see it in the playoffs a little bit more. When your team starts playing four, five, I'd see a couple fights in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know about...
Hasn't historically always been no fights in the playoffs?
Depends on if
in the first round, there's a couple of fights,
I think there's always, like, I could see out west. I could see if somehow, you know, L.A. gets involved with somebody and it gets a little gritty.
Well, if they were to play, like, Anaheim, I wouldn't shock anybody. But, like, the Leafs are going to play Boston... There
Could
will
you
be
see
a physical.
Bacchus being a dink and
Bacchus
and being
would do that.
Chara
would challenge somebody.
But who's going to go after him?
That's the question. Like, I'm not sure it's going to happen if the Leafs are putting out a lineup similar to the one that we're seeing.
So
in
then
practice.
The question becomes: are the Leafs somehow at a disadvantage because they don't have someone who wants to fight Zdeno Chara or even David Bacchus for that matter? Do you think so?
No, I don't think they.
I don't think so at all.
Kadri fought Bacchus once,
right?
I think
but like, it's not about whether they would or they wouldn't. I mean, they have guys that would if they Komarov, like somebody would grab on and hold
Pollock
on.
Would
but let's
someone.
Just say they have nobody that wants to. Does that mean that they're somehow at a disadvantage?
No,
I don't think so at all. And I think that's the conversation.
I don't. Yeah, you're right. I don't think so. But it would certainly be nice to have. And I'm not saying Matt Martin draws in, but in the event that something like that happens, you want to come out on top. Like, and it's not going to, like, you just don't have the players on your team. You don't have Chara. You don't have a guy like Bacchus.
I think it's almost meaningless in the playoffs, especially.
Well, I think especially with a guy like Chara.
But I'd rather win than lose, sure. But
they
don't have players that do that. Nobody cares if they do that. If they fight, they're not trying to really win the fight. They're just going to hug and fall down and let's get out of here.
And you'd have to get lucky with Chara because he's going to play 25 minutes. You're not playing Matt Martin more than 10.
You know what my
So you
got to
get lucky that he's on the ice.
If Chara says, I'm going to waste one and punches somebody in the face.
Which I expect him to do. And you know who else is going to do that?
And
Marchand is going to do that.
No, exactly. But then Chara doesn't get to play the rest of the series.
Well, he's not going to get suspended for punching somebody in the face.
If he takes his glove off, he is.
No, but if Zdeno Chara in a scrum decides, I'm going to punch Austin Matthews in the face.
And Austin Matthews gets a concussion, guaranteed Chara gets suspended. Guaranteed.
I doubt it. I don't think that's a suspension. You punch somebody in the face.
If
in
you
a
violate
scrum,
a rule and you hurt him, that's going to be a suspension.
It's hypothetical. You got to see
the
viciousness of the
fan base would go nuts here.
Yes,
but I wouldn't think twice. Like if I'm Chara, that's a.
Well, you know that's going to happen.
Why would you do that? You don't think Marchand's going to be chasing around Austin Matthews?
Yeah, he will. He'll step in. He'll be looking for a scrum, game one. And he'll go and he'll do the Henrik Sedin thing or whatever.
And I bet he gets a penalty doing it.
Well, he'll get a penalty, but he'll still be in the game. I don't think he gets suspended for that.
No, he wouldn't. But the thing is, the Leafs have, like, the Leafs can counter the Marchand act with Komarov doing something stupid.
Exactly.
Or Kadri doing something stupid.
I agree. I don't think, but back to your point, MJ, I think that's if it used to be 30, 40%, it's 3% now.
Yeah.
As far as that type of behavior. Maybe in the playoffs it's going to be a little bit different, especially when you play a team over and over again. Mm-hmm. But that's not the mindset. The guys aren't going into the game, you know, tomorrow night or whatever, next game, going, man, I'm worried about player X or player Y. It just doesn't happen.
Well, anymore. Like the Stars, Russell, I'm assuming, will be playing. Like, he's a little, he's chippy. Can be a weasel, and he can be chippy.
But that's the thing. Those guys, players like that, and I'll throw Komarov in there, they're dangerous because they will hit you and blindside you and the push in the 4 foot area by the boards. Like, they'll give you, they're gray area
they
players.
But they Ryan Reeves won't stop Russell, and he won't stop Komarov from doing exactly what you just said.
No, he won't. Ray Ferraro will join us just after 5 p.m. We'll get his take on this conversation and put Ovi's 600 goals into perspective. And Sage Rosenfels, longtime NFL QB, will join us on what's been going on throughout the NFL. Some big, big news today. We'll tell you about it in the 5 p.m. hour. Crazy news throughout the NFL, including in Green Bay. Jordy Nelson, after 10 years with the Packers, was cut today, but it sounds like they're going to sign Jimmy Graham. You've got Kirk Cousins going to Minnesota, Case Keenum going to Denver, Drew Brees back with the Saints. Lots going on. We'll tell you about it in the next hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.